listeners, you're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM, your conversation station, also on podcast. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Zach?
Not too shabby. We just had a long conversation about Steve making fun of my beard because it hasn't been trimmed in 2 months.
No, it was your tattoo that was bothering
me. Tattoo and beard.
What really got me was when you asked me if I wanted a father-son tattoo right in the tattoo parlor where you could have tied me down and got it, and the colors are cool. The tattoo is awesome.
Yeah, you didn't want to do it.
I'm not in for the paint.
You're at that age. You're at that age where you need a little color in your your skin pigment.
Color.
You need to do it. You need to do it.
But we have guests for color.
We do have guests for color commentary today. We're excited about our guests. But before we get to our guests, just want to highlight that everybody listening, you can contact us right now at asktheexperts@excellentcultures.com. We want to engage in conversation with you regarding your business, your culture, your leadership, and you're definitely going to want to throw us some questions as the conversation gets going.
Well,
and
when they find out who our guest is today, they're going to want to throw her some questions because she's famous.
Yes, the better half of our guest.
Yeah, the better half of our guest.
Her other half's
not too happy about that comment.
Yeah, that's all right. He'll get his chance on the microphone to talk. But also, asktheexperts@excellentcultures.com. And then also we have new podcasts and new shows up. Our Jack Hollis show is re-airing, and we've had some great guests on recently. I'm blanking right now as to who those guests were.
Well, when we had Sheila Andreen, the CEO of IndieFlix, on the movie industry and the culture that she built around community and transparency. Awesome. Make sure
that's
you
a
get
killer
that
story.
Yeah, make sure you get that podcast.
If you're an entrepreneur, you need to listen to that podcast too, because that'll give you some guts to go through what she went through.
She went through it.
That'll be cool. And then we've got some fun stuff going on right now with Sheehy Automotive and Toyota. Steve, do you want to give any highlights to the listeners about what we've got going on with them?
Automotive season.
Right,
we're working with lots of automotive folks this season. And then we just finished a show last week with the CEO of Coast, actually the president and CEO of Coast Property Management up in the Everett area of Seattle, 400 plus employees, just rocking the world of property management, figured out a way how to make things go up in a down market, and those guys have really got a great call.
Yeah, I was super excited about that too, because once when I uploaded their podcast onto our website, it was pretty cool because I got to search their website and found out that they own quite a number of buildings in my neighborhood in Capitol Hill, Seattle. So that was cool. I got a couple of friends that live in their
buildings.
So
they're your landlord and you really didn't
know it. They're not my landlord. They're not my landlord, thank God. We live in a condo
that
we rent.
They might be mine. They might be mine.
My landlord is very sweet and very nice. But
they're sweet.
Hey, I know. I'm not saying that.
Let's introduce our guests.
I don't really have a real landlord. So anyway, Steve, why don't you introduce our wonderful guests? We have two guests with us today.
Yeah, we've got a couple today. And when I first met these guys, I met Jim, the one half. And then he introduced me to his better half. I listened to Jim talk about their business and how they run it. Their business is up in Kirkland, Ford Hyundai, automotive business. And Jim and Amy originally came from, Portland and moved up. Amy has a tremendous story that we'll let her tell you about in a second. She not only is a councilwoman in the city of Kirkland, she was just elected as of moments ago today by some really famous, important people to be the elected official of
Kirkland
the year.
Local News recognizing her as the elected official of the year.
Way to
so
go.
That's a big
way
deal.
To go,
good job, Amy.
Yeah,
we should
go,
clap.
Yay! Yay! Go, Amy.
Yeah.
So we have Jim and Amy Wallen, and they're going to share with us a whole lot about their business and their culture. I mean, it's pretty unique. What I liked when I first heard Jim talk about the way that they run their business is they do it as a couple, and it's cool.
Yeah.
And so I asked all these questions about Amy because she was someplace back in the dark room counting all the numbers and crunching everything. And so Jim says, here, let's just ask one of our employees. And he calls up on the speakerphone, anonymously. Nobody knows when the boss is going to call and say, hey, what do you think of Amy? Can you describe her? And the first, I got terms like backbone, foundation. So then I met Amy. Had to meet Amy.
Yep.
So anyway, good guys. I'm going to let Jim, Amy, why don't you guys take over? Tell everybody a little bit about yourselves, about what you do, about your culture there in Kirkland, and why in the world you're now so famous, Amy. We'll let Jim answer that one.
Well, it's, we're Jim and Amy here. Of course, I'm Jim Wallen, and we came to the Puget Sound area 8 years ago. It was February of 2005, and we're dealers in Portland, Oregon, a place called Courtesy Ford. It was the number one Ford store in volume for the Pacific Northwest at the time, and we took over a store that wasn't doing so well financially and didn't have a good reputation, and basically didn't have what you talk about, Steve, culture and a sense of continuity, and basically didn't have the direction that it needed to have success. And for that reason, didn't sell a lot of cars, wasn't really on the map, didn't have that good of a reputation. And Amy and I went to work from there, and we brought some folks up with us from Portland, as well as really the backbone of our company were the employees that we inherited there. Lots of great folks.
So you moved the culture from Portland to Kirkland.
Well, we brought some of our people with us, and then we worked with the people there, and we instituted a lot of the things that a lot of the basic things that you do in a car store, and that were successful for us in Portland, and we put those into place in Kirkland, and we've had great success. And you know, now the benchmark that you look for in a car store is, of course, you have to be profitable, but more than that, you have to have good customer satisfaction, and the manufacturer that you represent, in this case Ford, you have to sell a lot of their product. Mm-hmm. And it's about market share for the car manufacturers. And I'm pleased to say that we're the number one retail Ford retailer. That's redundant, but in the entire Pacific Northwest.
That's great.
And that was all of 2012 and so far.
And it was all because of Amy's contribution, right?
Amy's going to really chime in here. I've kind of taken over the control of the mic. But, you know, going back from to 2005 when we first started, it was not only the inherited employees we had were 49. And right now we have a little over 120 employees.
Wow, big growth.
And so we have grown, but 49 employees to run a major Metro Ford store that you have designs to have success with, we're not that many to start out with.
But then you have a store in Hawaii as well, is that right?
Well, that's something that happened last April. I was blessed to be able to invest in a store that was underperforming in Honolulu also. It's called Honolulu Ford. And
it's a good word to describe having a business in Hawaii.
Well, if we would have done our homework well, we would have scheduled this interview in January and had
in Honolulu.
Well, you guys are more than welcome, and you know, I'd have taken you up on that.
That would have been a much better plan.
Everybody's looking for a way to get to Honolulu in January.
I like to sell cars, and I like to do radio shows, so we could have two birds with one stone, and we'd done it in Hawaii.
Next
but
one's going to be in Honolulu.
But, you know, again, moving back, that was last April. So April of 12 is when we took over or were able to invest in the Honolulu franchise. But back to 2005, 49 employees moving from had to sell our house, move our family, move everybody up to Kirkland from basically we live in Camas, which is outside of Vancouver, Washington. And at the same time, my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. And she credits the people with Evergreen at the Evergreen Health Care Hospital with saving her life.
Wow.
And lots of operations and chemos and radiations. And we kind of did it on the run where Amy was very sick and battling this disease along with putting our business up and growing that 49 employees to what it is today.
Wow. So you're moving, selling a house, moving to a new community, buying a business, starting a new business, moving a bunch of people, and battling a life-threatening disease all at the same time.
2005.
That sounds like post-traumatic stress disorder. You guys are very much alive and well, though.
Well, Steve, let me tell you, 2005 was not my favorite year of my life. Frankly, it was one of the more challenging ones, and I feel that I've grown from it. I certainly, again, we're going to hear from Amy, and she has also. And, you know, where's the top? Where's, you know, as far as success and where you go in a career, where does that take you? And we can talk about some of the things that we've done and how we've progressed and where we've come from. You know, this terrible year in 2005 when we went through more than anything, Amy's illness. Getting a business up and going is it's a challenge, but it's a challenge that we know how to do, and a lot of hard work, and frankly, it was a lot of fun. And so,
well, it's like building a team, and is like building a family. So it's not. I just saw something on the watching basketball the other night, and they were holding up a sign that said, "Built, not bought." And I think that's what we have. Jim started selling cars when he was, you know, 20 years old, and I started as a cashier, and we both love the car business. And I think, you know, it's not just because. I mean, I don't. You know, cars are fine, right? For me, it's transportation. It's not something that I feel passionately about, the new Mustang or whatever. But what I do feel passionately about is the family that we've built at the dealership. So those are that we spend a lot of time there. We drive to work together. We drive home. We work there all day. And I think we're unusual in some, a lot of businesses really discourage relationships. It's hard for Jim and I to get away with that, if you can imagine. Yeah. So we have a lot of sisters and fathers and children and lots of family there. So we try to make it, I mean, it's a family. It is our family.
That so place it's a
our
family business in more ways than one.
Absolutely. And that's, and you know, Jim is very clear about what our mission is, and we want to sell the most cars, and we want to, the more important one in my mind is creating, building lasting relationships. That's kind of our stated mission. It's lasting relationships with our factory partners, because we need them to give us the great products and it all works. And with our team, that we help them improve as people, and we are there for them if they have problems, and you know that they're there for each other. And then we try to help our customers, because our customers come to us for expertise and advice, and they need help and they need good advice. It's not simple. It's a big financing decision. It's a big purchase. And so this whole sort of creating lasting relationships, and we're all there together, and we spend a lot of time there and try to have fun and sell the most cars, make the most people happy, win the most awards. Those sort awards and things follow all those other.
It's a bit of a byproduct of the family atmosphere and what you guys have focused on building. We've got it. This is a great story. So our listeners need to stay tuned. We need to cut into our first break. So you're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM. If you've heard up to this point, you're going to want to stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Remember Ross Perot, the Texas millionaire who ran for president in the early 90s? Did you realize that he's built multiple companies that sold for billions? Each of his companies held a strong values-based culture. We interviewed his CFO and COO. His insightful comments on the role of culture in business are posted on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com. Take a look. You'll gain wonderful insights to building your own excellent cultures on excellentcultures.com. You can also follow us at XLNT Cultures or Facebook/Excellent Cultures.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
As an executive, CEO, or business owner, do you find yourself struggling with work-life balance and achieving your goals at work and home? Are you overwhelmed in your workload and feel important things aren't getting done? Our coaches specialize in helping leaders like you overcome challenges and build a plan to recenter their life, to achieve the balance and success you've always hoped for in your business and your personal life. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures about the right plan for you.
You're back with Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180. Our guest today, Jim and Amy Wallen. This is an incredible story. I hope you're tuning in to it, which, by the way, you guys are owners of Ford and Hyundai dealerships. Lincoln in there at all? What else do you have going on?
Not yet. Stay Not tuned. Yet.
Okay, but if you have listened to the story, if you didn't hear the whole story, listeners, and you're just now plugging in, you need to get the podcast on excellentcultures.com and hear the front end, and then stay tuned for the next half. I will throw this out at you. My first car was a Hyundai Excel, 1989. Learned to drive a stick shift.
Oh, I remember that. Stick shift. That
little,
for that
you
car.
Did that little red one. And,
was it a good car?
It was a great car. I learned to drive stick shift on it, and my second car was a Ford. So nice. There you
I'm
go.
I'm liking this deal.
Little Ford Bronco 2, also a stick shift. I burned
I paid
the clutch.
For that one
you
too.
Paid for that one too. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's a couple cars, and then I had a Volkswagen after that, which is a whole other.
I want
you
to
pay for that Volkswagen.
Yeah, and I got a Volvo now. So apparently, I left domestic. Unfortunately,
now you become a pre-owned. Yeah. Since you moved to Capitol Hill, you become a pre-owned buyer. You're
yeah,
pre-owned
that's right.
Customer.
I'm a pre-owned customer at this point.
Yeah, anything that's got low miles and runs good, you know.
That's it. I don't even care about miles as long as it runs good. I need to hear
you
my
care
wife.
About if your wife likes
if my her. Wife likes it and it gets her from work from A to B, that's there all that matters.
So I want to talk to Amy a little bit about her career as a Kirkland City Councilwoman, because she's a wife, she's a mom, she's a CFO, she's a controller, she's a councilwoman, all put together. Not only just a councilwoman, but elected official of the year. So
overcoming cancer, councilwoman,
yeah,
elected official
yeah,
of the year.
How'd you do all this? You know, she's sitting here smiling at us like, you know, that was just a piece of cake.
Yeah.
Tell us.
Well, I've had many opportunities in my life, and you have to work hard. That's always my family's farming people, and my mom was a hard worker, and I just always learned to work hard. So the elected official part is all Jim. I mean, we got to Kirkland, and they were increasing a pretty significant tax on business when we moved, you know, shortly after we moved here in 06. And if you remember, those were very hard economic times, and Jim went to the council and said, what are you doing to business during this crucial time? We're struggling to survive, and you're, you know, increasing our business taxes basically from about $300 a year to what is effectively about $11,000 a year now. So, you know, he always talks about how the council listened to him very nicely and then went ahead and voted for what they were going to do anyway.
Which was a tax increase.
Which was a tax increase. So, you know, he thought someone in our family needs to get involved in government, and I got nominated somehow.
Nice. Nominated somehow.
So who can get elected? And anyway, so we worked, and we just, you know, once we decided we were going to do that, then we just worked hard at it. And we were very, very fortunate to be successful. And it is, I mean, I am absolutely sincere that it's an honor to serve as an elected official in Kirkland, and to be elected is it's a big deal, and I love doing it.
And let me say that Amy has a law degree, and she's passed the bar in Oregon.
So you're a lawyer too?
She's a lawyer also.
What does
so.
She not do?
Non-practicing.
Non-practicing. But, you know,
everybody needs a lawyer in their
that's
family.
Right. That's right.
Passing the bar in Oregon and graduating law school, she's got a really good head on her shoulders for the law, which, and the only lawyer on the council, I might add, for Kirkland right now. But where I say that, she came with all the raw materials. She's an incredible woman. Had never been in politics before. She's right. It was my idea, along with some friends of ours, and one of us to run, and it turned out to be Amy. And there was a point where I pushed her towards it. This was 4 years ago, so it was 2008, 2009. So, and there was a point where I was pushing her, and she was like, no. Politics, what? I mean, car business, the lawyer thing. I've got plenty on my plate, as you said, Steve. And I said, there's
and kids at home, too.
Certainly. So there's one more, and I think that this is important. And, you know, one of the things Amy also wanted to do, and I'll let her speak to this, but she wanted to give back to the community that, you know, Evergreen Hospital is located right in the center of Kirkland. And, you know, what better way to give back to the community than to serve in a political sense. And a lot of people that we went to talk to, community people and so forth, said, you've got no experience. You've never been in politics. Start somewhere.
You just got my vote right there. You know, the no experience.
Right. Right.
Put together with her leadership ability and her background.
Maybe, and she's just a very, very well qualified in a sense, a human sense, and with no experience in politics itself. And that's what happened, that a lot of people said it can't be done. And I know for me, I've been told all my life that I can't do a lot of things, and that really motivates me. And Amy was told much the same thing when she first got in. She and, of course, we were here 4 years later, and she's running unopposed.
So I guess the constituents don't like her, they love her.
I think that she's very, very popular. If not, I think that it would have garnered some opposition there. So she's running unopposed, and then today...
I'm not ever feeling bad about myself, I'm going to have this podcast.
Do it, that's right.
That's right. I am okay.
That's right, that's right.
And she's not perfect, and every day's a learning day, and I think of her still as an outsider in that she's got a little less than 4 years of political experience. And Amy, why don't you speak to us of that, what the culture you have in the city also?
Well, I just think you work hard, and that's my, just everything that you apply yourself to, you work hard at it. And I have worked hard, and but I enjoy it, and it's a wonderful team at City Hall, and it's an amazing honor to serve with the colleagues that I have. And so I'm a lucky woman, that's all.
Well, but remember, I'm a culture guy.
Yes.
So we hear stuff that others often don't. And what I heard... coming from both of you guys is relationships first, people before profit, family and family values, and work hard. So you just kind of defined the culture of what you stand for in a very few short words, which our motto on this show, as you know, is to help the good guys win. How much can people learn from you guys just with what you've done there and overcoming all the adversity you've had to overcome?
I think that also there's a thing about involvement. We always talk about, you know, just you always have to keep your foot a little bit on the accelerator in business, I think. And, you know, just rather than sitting in my office and waiting for people to come to me or bring problems to me, I really like to be in the mix, and we're constantly improving that way by just hearing about things that come up on a daily basis, and our business is, I think, hopefully, constantly growing and getting better, and we're refining things, and we're just always working, and everybody in our office is saying, how about we try this, how about we do that, and being open to new ideas, and that's...
And let me say that we are not perfect. We're not perfect as a couple. We're not perfect as a business. We've won awards. One of the awards I'm most proud of is it's the President's Award. And it's given to the top 10% of Ford dealers nationally, and it's for customer satisfaction.
The customers vote on who.
Right.
You know, it's
awesome.
Based on surveys.
What'll happen is you'll bring your vehicle in for service, or you'll buy a vehicle, in this case a new vehicle, and you'll receive a survey. And then what they'll do is you'll be in a group of other dealers, and the dealers with the best customer satisfaction will then win an award, the top 10%, in other words. And with us to win an award, it takes about 90% of the customers have to be completely satisfied with your with their experience there in your sales and service facility. And 90% is a high bar. Let me say that 7 of the 8 years that we've been there, we've won this award. And so we've been in the top 10%. That tells you that we're not perfect, because there's 10% of the people that we don't satisfy.
Right. Yeah.
And so even though it's a high bar, we're human. And it's the same thing when we talk about a team.
Things go wrong.
Yeah.
Things go wrong in life. And it's how you address them and whether you do address them. And sometimes people in the car business don't get a good name because they don't follow up on problems and don't answer. And, you know, you just got to, that's the job. You have to work hard, and you have to answer, and you have to follow up and fix things.
And it starts with, you know, who is Ford and Hyundai of Kirkland? It's the 120 employees. It's not Jim and Amy.
Yeah.
Jim has a job to do there. Amy does also. And that leaves 118 other people. And and by and large, they're the people that when you go to Ford or Hyundai of Kirkland, you're going to run into those people, and they're going to be the face of our business. And you can have your car serviced basically anywhere. It doesn't even have to be a dealership. You can buy a car again basically anywhere on the internet. There's lots of Ford and Hyundai stores out there. Why do people pick us? And it is these people. It's the sense of team, and it's doing things right. And again, in this case, 90% of the time. And this is something that's voted by our customers. And I say 90%. It's sometimes high 80s, low 90s. It's what we do.
Yeah.
And that's our culture. And yet we don't always get it right. The employees could have a bad day or the team doesn't gel. I think of my job more than anything as head babysitter sometimes, because I've got to keep everybody focused on the customer. Are we going to focus on the customer, or there'll be some internal dissension, or somebody will have a concern with a policy or procedure we put in place. Any number of things happen. The hot new car that's out there, everybody will want the new Mustang Cobra, and yet we can only get just a few of them.
Yeah.
And
let's take a break. Let's take a break on that point, and then when we come back from break, I want you guys to start speaking on how you develop that team.
Great.
How you develop that teamwork, that family, that that atmosphere at your guys' business. All right, here we go. Biz Culture Matters, Clay 1180. We're going into a break. Be right with us.
ExcellentCultures.com is always interviewing leaders committed to cultural leadership, excellence, and change. These leaders, like Russell Freeman, Ross Perot's COO, and Bob Hinton, CPA and Moss Adams Managing Partner, have world-class ideas. As advocates for creating a strong corporate culture that builds people and serves customers with excellence, they share breakthrough business ideas. Gain insights from Russell, Bob, and others on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
Has business taken over your life? Are you living to work or working to live? Stress, broken marriages, neglected relationships, and poor health are symptoms of a life out of balance. The right coaching plan can have transformational impact on the quality of your performance at work, depth of relationships at home, and personal sense of well-being. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures how coaching can help you maximize your life and optimize your work. Stop struggling to survive. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures how coaching can help you maximize your life and optimize your work.
So we're talking to Jim and Amy Wallen from Kirkland Ford Hyundai, and we're talking about
in Honolulu.
And Honolulu,
yeah,
Ford, and Honolulu Ford, about their culture and about how they built their culture and about overcoming adversity and about their values of family and community. And I heard another one just a few seconds ago from Jim, humility, willingness to admit that we're not perfect and we don't always do it right and we have problems and we have challenges. And Amy chiming in that, you got to take what you're dealt and make sure you deal with it.
I've worked in the car business. I worked one summer selling cars, and it was enough to have me not go back and do cars. But growing up,
You didn't work for these guys.
No, I didn't. You're right.
If you would have
worked
for
another
guys.
Ford dealer who doesn't exist anymore, so I won't even throw out their name.
For that,
yeah,
probably.
They don't. That's right. Somebody bought them out. You grew up in the car business, Steve, a bit with Grandpa
dad. Yeah,
Buick.
My dad was the car dealer.
Gander Buick in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, right next to which is now a Brahms, which is a wonderful place to get ice cream and cherry limeades.
Yeah.
when you're in Oklahoma. But the great thing
Grandpa
that they
Grandpa retired.
Yeah, he did. He did retire. Nobody overtook him. He retired. But the great thing that Jim was just sharing was the customer satisfaction rating that you guys have had. You've won that award from Ford 7 out of the last 8 years. And that's a 90% approval rating from customers. So there's a 10% failure rate. I mean, if we're playing baseball, the best baseball players get paid millions of dollars for failing 70% of the time. Mm-hmm. They hit 300, they fail 70% of the time, and you've got Alex Rodriguez. But in the car business, at least from my experience and many people's experience, the failure rate of customer satisfaction with most people is probably 300, 30%. But you guys getting 90% on a regular basis and winning that customer satisfaction award says something about your teamwork,
very significant.
Your family culture. And that's where we want to go with this next segment is how do you guys develop that and what is that?
So I always tell the joke about how I started as a lawyer, and then I became a car dealer, and then now I'm a politician. So I'm like...
You're the most hated person on the planet.
Exactly.
I think the next thing we do is have her be a dentist.
There you go. Yeah,
now,
yeah,
car
yeah.
dealers came to that reputation, honestly. Yeah. And by that, I mean we deserved it, right?
Right.
And, you know, people complain about all of the regulations that have come about, you know, from a government perspective. Those exist for a reason, because we, unfortunately, weren't always trustworthy and weren't always the best people that we could be. Yeah. So, I mean, as far as building a culture, I think part of it is, you know, having a stable team that you work with and are like your family. The people in our team, they process our deals. They know how we handle problems, and they bring their families in, and that is sort of builds by itself. It's almost like a snowball effect, right, where you gain some trust, and you act with integrity, and it grows on itself. And we've yeah. certainly experienced that from when we bought the Hyundai franchise and it sold 30 vehicles a month, and now we sell 100 Hyundais a month.
Right.
You know, we've grown the business, and we've built, not bought. We've worked hard for that, and our team has worked hard for that.
One of the other challenges, and this is a fastball I'm throwing at you here because this was not a planned question, but one of the other challenges you face in the car sales industry is the turnover of car salesmen. And guys go to where the money is, not where the culture is often. Sadly, that's a bummer, but it does happen. So how do you guys overcome that? How have you overcome that? Have you overcome that? What's that like in your guys'
area? I think it's still really tough. I think that everyone should appreciate that being a salesperson for a car store is a very hard job.
Yeah.
Jim started doing that. You imagine yourself standing outside in the rain, in the ice. It doesn't matter what the weather is. Yeah. They're there to wait on you. Now, no, people don't get offended as much if they're at Nordstrom and someone says, can I come help you?
Yeah.
But in our business...
I do at Nordstrom.
Rejection.
But I didn't used to it. When Nordstrom's was an excellent cultures client, I never did.
Well,
they need us
before you had your beard.
That was. I was also, yeah. I was
That's
also,
when you
yeah.
looked like a GQ guy. Yeah.
Well, what Amy says about rejection, and it's not just, you know, when we talk about 120 employees, we're our strength is our diversity.
Yeah.
And it's, you know,
That's
the
great.
Salespeople make up about 40 of those 120. So we've got people from all walks of life that do all kinds of different jobs. But to be a salesperson, you're right. It's tough. You have to have very tough skin and be ready for rejection, because again, as Amy talked about, politicians and salespeople and lawyers, they don't have the best reputation in the
yeah.
world.
And how about the hours they work too?
Oh yeah.
Well, somebody comes in.
You like your weekends yeah. off? You like Memorial Day? Uh-huh.
Yep. No.
You're working.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah. You work the holidays, and that's when you sell the most cars, and that's when you work
and
the hardest.
Nights and weekends and so forth.
Our population that can do that job.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't know this. I remember being a salesman, and one of the things I hated about it was like, oh, I'm off at 8, so I'll make plans with my girlfriend / wife.
No, you won't.
Nope, I got a deal.
Right.
I'm going to be here now till 10:30.
You're not
Sorry,
off.
Honey, I'm not off.
That's exactly
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Well,
it is a hard job.
There's a lot of hard jobs in the car business, from the person that has to get the vehicles ready, and you know, and any types of weather. You got to go out and make a
yeah.
vehicle just sparkle for a new car delivery. The technicians and the jobs that they do, the administrative people. We sell an awful lot of cars. As of yesterday morning at 8 o'clock, we had 442 cars out for the month of May.
That's great.
That's new, used, Ford, and Hyundai.
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that worked very hard to do that. That creates a lot of paperwork. So all the way through, but getting back to the salesperson and the kind of job it is, and you talk about turnover, we are very much invested in a five-day work week and somebody having a life, basically. You're right. So there's that. We also, you know, we give people a leg up when they work with us. We've got a great reputation. We try to keep the most amount of inventory out there. We try to have the most advertising. We want to have the most upbeat advertising. And we want to make sure that we really, again, focus on the customer is our main goal. And if you have happy customers, that leads to happy employees.
Right.
And it really might be the other way around.
Yeah.
We're not sure, but we work very, very hard to have happy employees, which then translates into happy customers.
They have success, and we also invest in them, and we promote from within, and then we, you know, the salesman's young wife is at home, and she wants a job as a cashier, and we
yeah.
say, come on, and then
yeah.
they want Wednesdays off together, and so we make that happen.
That's great.
You know, providing flexibility. They're saying that about Google and these kinds of companies that are high tech. What people want more even than money or, you know, titles is they want flexibility to live their lives. So we're trying to incorporate that in our business.
Absolutely.
In as much as we can, where we're open 7 days a week, we're open till 9 o'clock at night.
Yep.
You know,
and
you gotta
we've got to be there for the customer. And that's one of the things that I want to stress there also is what we do in our business is not revolutionary. Anything we do, we can't say that there's some secret sauce to Fort Hundy of Kirkland that makes us the best. It really is just a group of overperformers that work really hard, and basically we've had really great results. Mm-hmm. But it's there's nothing revolutionary that we have. We have to provide the same service. We offer the same products that other people do. I believe we've got a great location, but there's lots of other great locations that people have to be able to purchase vehicles.
And you know that term, have you ever heard, is this just a car business term, hero to zero? Have you ever heard that term?
I've heard it,
yeah. That's our business. It's 1 month.
Yep.
We had a great May, 442 deliveries, whatever we did.
We're not done yet. We're
June
working for
1st,
500.
It's zero.
Right. No,
how many
exactly.
surveys do we have and how good are they? It's again at zero.
Right.
So it's just every day you go in and work hard.
What have you done
way.
For me lately?
You get to love what you do or you'd really wear out quickly.
That's very true.
Steve,
I'm sure that's true. In
I think you sound, when you say, what have you done for me lately, you sound like my factory partner or one of my employees.
That's
maybe
what I was
one saying. Of Amy's constituents. we could go on and on here.
Yeah. So, all right. So you've done a great job, I think, of describing a culture to our listeners that creates the kind of performance that you've proven that you can get, both in doing lots of business and in serving and satisfying customers. So what I'm going to ask you to put your coach's hats on here for a second and give our listeners some input and advice after this next break. Give our listeners some advice on what are some of the trouble signs to look for. I mean, you know, what causes the culture to deteriorate, or how do you get really good and then all of a sudden fall? I mean, most of the leaders that we talk to, I've never met anybody yet, any business leader yet, that we said, what kind of a culture do you have? And they said, oh, it's terrible. We really need to change it. Most everybody comes to work every day to want to have a good day, to want to be successful. But there's sneaky, ugly things that creep in that we don't see, that we don't recognize, that we don't notice. So I want you guys to be thinking about that, and we'll get back from the break. Tell us, give our listeners some advice on what should you watch out for and what are some of the trouble signs that you can pay attention to as a business leader and make corrections on.
Perfect. We're going to a break. Biz Culture Matters on Clay, 1180 AM. We'll be right back.
Remember Ross Perot, the Texas millionaire who ran for president in the early 90s? Did you realize that he's built multiple companies that sold for billions? Each of his companies held a strong values-based culture. We interviewed his CFO and COO. His insightful comments on the role of culture in business are posted on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com. Take a look. You'll gain wonderful insights to building your own excellent cultures on excellentcultures.com. You can also follow us at XLNT Cultures or Facebook/Excellent Cultures.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
As an executive, CEO, or business owner, do you find yourself struggling with work-life balance and achieving your goals at work and home? Are you overwhelmed in your workload and feel important things aren't getting done? Our coaches specialize in helping leaders like you overcome challenges and build a plan to recenter their life, to achieve the balance and success you've always hoped for in your business and your personal life. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures about the right plan for you.
We're back on Clay 1180 with Biz Culture Matters, Jim and Amy Wallen. The question before the break was, what are the trouble signs of a good culture starting to deteriorate? What should business leaders and managers look out for that is kind of a, whoops, looks like we're starting to slip, that a leader should look for?
Amy, you want to take this one?
Well, I have a few thoughts, and the first thing I would say is never be afraid to self-survey. So, you know, measure what you expect and measuring yourself. It's easy to think, wow, we're working hard and, you know, our inner circle loves us and we're, you know, we're seeing good things here and there. But having an employee satisfaction survey, I think is a really important thing to do. And it can be kind of painful, but, you know, if you really are sincere about wanting to be excellent and provide an excellent atmosphere and do all the things we've been talking about, you need to survey people and see how they feel. And then before Jim starts talking, I have one more thing, and that is I always think interdepartmental squabbling. Mm-hmm. So if I hear, oh, the parks department is making a mistake all the time, it's this, you know, the sort of people dividing into departments and going to war with each other on minor things, and they'll tell you a few things here and there, and they don't want to say too much, but, you know, you have to watch out for that interdepartmental, it's always this department to blame, our department's doing great, but their department isn't.
Right.
That's a warning sign that needs to be fixed.
We call those silos in our communications.
Yep.
Running to silos.
Right.
Bad news.
And it's human nature almost. Our team's good, and it's a competition. No.
Yeah.
The outside world is our competition.
Right.
We are all together, and Jim often talks about that. Let's talk about it inside this room, and let's keep it in here, and let's hash it out, and let's, you know, figure out a new policy. Let's do whatever we're going to do. When we leave this room, let's all be together.
Because
that outside world is who we're competing against.
Well, you talk about measurement, and Amy's right. Earlier in the segment, I talked about what my job is, and I feel a lot of times what my job is the head babysitter. And I say that we've got a group of overachievers. We do that. The results bear that out. Month in and month out, and now at 8 years, year in and year out. And
so he's not calling our overachievers babies.
Right.
Well, no, but what I am saying is our overachievers, when you have that, you've got a lot of people that think that, you know, their way is the right way to do it.
Right.
And you put 120 of these people in together that all think they have the right way. Well, sometimes there's a lot of clashes. And then you throw some other things in there, which Amy says there's a service department and an accounting department and a parts department. And
errors.
Then you maybe have an error or an upset customer, and, you know, whose fault is it? Or that, you know, there is a customer and income involved in it when you talk about somebody that's been sold. Whose customers, who really sold the customer and gets a commission?
Right.
And you go on and on about these different things. Is a reason that I'm in the car business and that I like what I do. It's a challenge. It's not what I have is not a factory job where, and I think none of our team members, where they know exactly what they're going to do every day. Every day that I go to work is going to be different because every customer is different. And I've been doing this since 1981, and every day I've gone to work has been a different day, and I've come up with different situations. And for me, that's a challenge. And it's a different situation with a customer, with a team member, with a factory partner, with economic conditions. I mean, I could go on and on and on the challenges we face. And again, what Amy said, it's not our organization as a, if we termed it in terms of a political organization, almost like a democratic monarchy. There has to be, there's the buck stops somewhere, and ultimately I would have that,
right.
That end decision making. But what I try to do when I make decisions is I'm very inclusive to all of our team members, and to the newest team members, or what we'd say the entry-level team members, right on up to our senior people. And depending on the situations that we encounter, we get together and we come up with solutions together. And I think that really that is part of what our success is. And a lot of times, Amy will talk about it, we'll have a, let's say, a sales process issue, and there'll be some conflict.
We have a meeting every week, so we have a sort of 3 hours of meetings on Friday before we kick off our weekend, and that's when a lot of these things kind of come to the surface.
But what'll happen, and Amy's right, again, give the analogy of football. It's the preseason or the practice time before you actually go to the game. And we will have meetings, and we'll get together and say that, you know, here's the issues. And in our case, it's once a week. Here's the issues we've come up with this week, and here are the issues from previous weeks that are unresolved. Let's all get together and get everybody's input and then come up with ways to attack it. And what happens in these, Steve, is everybody doesn't agree. As a matter of fact, usually they don't agree, and sometimes violently. But what happens...
Not violently.
Well, not violently where...
we know what violently means. We know what
vehemently.
You mean. Vehemently.
Let's try vehemently.
Was that the lawyer or the politician? Yes. Both? Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't want any calls up here about violence happening there at Fort Hundy at Kirkland.
We don't want any emails at Excellent Culsers either.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But, you know, let me say that what will happen in the best case scenario is everybody compromises.
Yeah.
And says, you know what, I look at it this way and somebody else looks at it 180 on the other side, and we'll say, let's formulate a plan that's going to be somewhere in the middle. Or let's even try it one way and then next week come back and measure it and see how it turned out.
Yeah,
and then you know, we get into, and this is again where my job's a challenge, but also so rewarding, is there are literally thousands of different decisions that need to be made about how we run our business and what happens with situations with customers, with team members, just with the way things go.
I think conflict is almost always a sign of some kind of trouble.
Yeah.
So conflict, you know, if business is really slow, we tend to find that people are arguing a little bit more.
Right.
It's just conflict tends to be a sign that something isn't quite going right.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody isn't, maybe really truly someone isn't performing to where they need to be. So I think that hitting conflict head on, getting people in the room and saying, okay, let's hash this out, let's deal with it, let everybody talk and talk it out. And
you know, that's interesting too. We find that conflict and problems, issues occur with team members and customers when it's slower versus when you're real busy.
Right.
And you'd think that, you know, when you're real busy and let's say in the case of car sales, we're selling lots of cars and somebody doesn't get helped and they want to get helped or selling lots of cars, they don't have that model that they're looking for, and that's going to be the time that customers are going to be unhappy. No, it really shows up when the slower times, maybe when there's not a sale going on or not a hotter product or inclement weather for whatever reason that it'd be downtime. That's the time that customer issues come up as well as employee issues.
Right.
And you can see on the employee issues because, again, would come back down to the income, and technician would have the repair jobs or the salesperson would have the customer the commissions to generate. So you could see that that would happen there. But really, same with the customers. Is when we get slower, that's when we find that there are more issues with customers and their ultimate satisfaction.
Yeah, we see that in a lot of organizations. Right.
It's well, like our smallest client has 18 employees. Our largest has over 20,000. And over the years, we've worked for everybody from startup entrepreneurial businesses to Fortune 500s, and you know, have clients who are Fortune 500 CEOs and chairmen. And yet, within all of those businesses of all those sizes, it's amazing what percent are family businesses. You know, even Wall Street companies. Nordstrom's is a Wall Street, you know, company that's a family business. And what's interesting in all the years that we've worked with businesses that you can categorize, okay, well, these are just pure corporate, and it's all about business, and these are family businesses, and it's about family and business. Probably I can count on one hand the number of family businesses that had a functional family life as well as a successful business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of family businesses that are successful businesses, but the families are just really messed up. And you guys have seemed to figure out a way, you know, with the adversity you've been through and, you know, fighting for Amy's life and everything, to really build a culture.
You can't see it, but they just kissed.
Well, yeah. And they just throw kissed in the radio.
Color commentary.
Yeah.
Amy accepted a kiss from me. Disclosure here.
That's right.
Yeah, but, I mean, you guys have the kind of relationship where you're a family first and a business second, And Jim, you haven't seen this because we're not on TV. This is radio, but you know, Amy gives him the shut up sign or slow down, I want to talk sign.
Or you're
and
talking actually, too much.
He listens to her. He listens to her and yeah. he starts slowing down. He doesn't slow down completely, but he starts slowing down. So put your coach's hat on again and let's talk to businesses that are family businesses. What advice can you give them that you guys practice of how do you keep your life healthy and balanced and keep your marriage and your family together? And at the same time, do you know, be involved in this fast-changing, rapid, intense, focused automotive business that is as successful as it has been?
You know, for Amy, it's real easy for me. I like being around her. I respect her, and she's really good at what she does. What she's going to say on the other side, what it does for her, I'm not really sure. So, Amy, why don't you take that one?
No, I think it's the same as getting along with anybody, and it's communication and respect. So if you go to work and we're there to work and we're there to work hard and we're there to, take care of our team and make sure that everybody is getting what they need out of the organization. And I think I told you that our business philosophy is we sell a large volume of new vehicles on a pretty low margin. Mm-hmm. And then the idea is they give an outstanding experience, right? They get a President's Award-winning experience. And then they love us. And then we turn them to our service department. We introduce them to service. That's part of what we do.
Yeah.
And they love their service advisor. And we have award-winning service advisors that have been with us from the beginning and way before we came there. And they win national awards. They get an outstanding experience there, and then they'll buy their next vehicle from us because we've built a relationship with them. So it's always having respect for that relationship. So when we're at work, we have respect for all of our team, all of our customers, and we're there to do a job. And Jim, you know, it's very easy when you're in charge kind of thing to get excited about, I'm in charge. You're not in charge. You're just doing the job the same as anybody else. Right. We all are doing a job there. And if we all take care of the business will take care of us. So the business is what we're there to do.
Yeah.
And that's what we preach to all of our team members. And let me say that I learned a long time ago, and it was about halfway through my car career, that and this is a management lesson of mine. It was very hard learned that –
You got 2 minutes.
2 minutes. So no, we can't tell them about the time I got. I wasn't fired. It was demoted. Okay. Basically, as a manager, what I did was I expected from people what I expected from myself, and a lot of people aren't able or don't want to give what I've sacrificed to give.
And they have a life.
That's and huge. Yeah. And
priorities.
Besides that, people have different things to give than I do. I am by far from a perfect human, and I have some strengths and I have lots of weaknesses. And about halfway through my career, I learned that what you do as a good manager is to get the best out of what somebody's got to give. That's what a sign of a good
Great
manager
lesson.
Is
Great.
Versus expecting from somebody what you expect from yourself.
That's huge.
And that right there is what changed that. That made me to where I could become a dealer.
And you had to get demoted to learn that.
It was a very, very tough lesson, and maybe on a different show, a different time, I could tell you about it. And
it's a great one.
I don't think it's so great.
We'll have you back on. It's been engaging enough. We need to have you guys back on. The time just flew by.
So let's let Amy wrap up and give us her perspective on family business that's also serving the community
cool.
in the role of a community leader.
So I think that anytime you are a business in a community, you have a responsibility to contribute in some way. And I mean, you know, not everybody has a car store, not everybody, you know, maybe you have a sandwich shop, maybe you have any kind of a business. It's important to be a part of the community that you live in. You know, these are the people that buy vehicles from us. These are the people that trust us with big decisions
right.
in their lives. These are the people who send their kids to us to file on the summer or wash cars. We love Kirkland, and we love Kirkland, Redmond, our whole, you know, we love our market area.
Right.
That's how we make our living.
We love Washington and Seattle. And
we love the whole.
Yeah.
I love America.
No, seriously, it's our responsibility to be a part of our community, and we absolutely love our home, and this it's all taking care of the business, right?
Absolutely.
Our business is home, and we take care of it.
Take care of it. That's huge.
Well said.
A lot of companies aren't doing that these days, and that's what's needed in neighborhoods and cities and countries.
It's so easy to get focused on dollars and forget about people.
Yeah, you know.
And it's people that make all the difference.
Yeah, it's funny because living in a bigger community in Seattle, but smaller at the same time in Capitol Hill, it's like you tip the people you're going to see walking down the street. Mm-hmm. Right? There's a lot of service industries there. Yep. It's like, I'm going to see you again, yes. So I'm going to tip you more because now we're in community together. It's not simple anymore.
And in our business, it's not always about money because people will ask you for money. Hey, maybe I don't have cash. Can I give you vehicles?
Yeah.
Can I give you a couple free oil changes?
Yeah.
Can a team of our employees come out and do a volunteer activity?
Yeah. And we do all
of
these things.
We try to do all of
those. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
All right, we're out of time. We went overtime. Gotta go. Biz Culture Matters. Clay 1180. Love you guys. We're going to have you back for sure. Must have back. Ask the experts at excellentcultures.com. Check the podcast, excellentcultures.com. Gotta go. Bye. We'll be right back.